We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I know we got Isola. He can wait for me. I've known him for 25 years. The Block Ness Monster. All right, let's welcome in Frank Isola, ESPN, XM Sirius Radio. What's up, Frank? How you doing, man?
Matty boy, is it Wiseman or Weissman?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. It's Wiseman with a Z.
I thought it wasn't Wiseman.
You know what's funny is we went back and forth out here for a while because in the official NBA pronunciation, it's like Weissman.
Weissman.
Yeah, but apparently Raymond Ritter went up to Wiseman and Wiseman said no, Wiseman. It's Wiseman.
Right.
So what do you think of him?
Like Frederick. It's not like Frederick Vies.
No.
Carter dunked over. Okay.
That's right. Wiseman. That's right.
Okay, got it.
You seen Wiseman play?
Yeah, a couple of times. First night against Brooklyn. I've seen him a couple of times. He's big, man.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy too. Hey, that was a good trade that they made. You know, you think about what they got in return. I know that pick is lottery protected.
Right.
Minnesota has. But, you know, Minnesota won their first two games. They're now 1-10. Minnesota, their season's basically over. So to have one of their first-round picks, that's going to come in handy for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, it's top three protected next year, and then it's unprotected after that.
Yeah, something tells me that you could wait because chances are Minnesota's not going to be that good the following year either. Just a guess.
Yeah.
Hey Frank, we're talking about the new look Warriors and the noise before the season about, you know, the surrounded Steph Curry and can he do it without Klay and KD? And I'm telling Matt and Dibs, you know what? He's averaging 28 points a game right now. If the Warriors were to get a fourth or fifth seed, would Curry in your estimation be in the MVP conversation?
I mean, a lot would have to happen between now and then, but I do think you put yourself in that conversation if your team has a pretty good record. And I think people would take into account what he doesn't have with him. But you know how it works, too. I always say this about MVP. The media votes for it, and the media likes a story. So I think, you know, the fact that Curry's won it twice, believe it or not, it'll probably hurt him, just like I think Giannis having won it back-to-back years will hurt him. And I think when you look at right now Embiid, and then if LeBron, to his credit, I think he's played all 15 games for the Lakers. If LeBron plays in most of the games and the fact that he's 36, it's going to be hard to beat him. But I think Curry, listen, if Curry finishes in the top five, that's going to be pretty darn impressive considering what's around him right now.
And that would portend to a pretty successful regular season anyway for Golden State. Frank, get us up to speed out here on what these Knicks are, who these Knicks are. I'm a big Obi Toppin guy, and you look at Thibodeau now at the helm. What should we expect from the New York Knicks tonight?
Well, you know, the Knicks don't have a lot of talent. I think, you know, Tom is squeezing a lot out of them. Julius Randle has played really well. He's had a couple of triple-doubles. His assist numbers have been good. Rebounding numbers have been good. You know, Tom gets his teams to defend. You know, Tom, you know, people are going to think Tom is stuck in the 90s, like he's coaching, you know, he's Jeff Van Gundy's assistant, and they got, you know, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, Larry Johnson out there defending, but that's what they do. They'll play really hard. They will compete, and he's getting everything out of this group. RJ Barrett is good. You know, Julius Randle is good, but you guys know you need stars to win, so it's still going to be about getting the players. And Obi Toppin, it's been a little bit of a slow start for him because he had a calf injury, and obviously defensively he needs to get up to speed. But I think the Knicks have to be pretty happy. You know, last year they were they won their seventh game in their 28th game, so they were 7-21. This year, it's been a lot different, and Tom is a very good coach. I know, like, people complain all the time about pushing his players and all this other nonsense. I was just looking at the Minnesota record. They couldn't wait to get rid of Tom. They're 39-80 since he left. But the good thing is everybody's happy in Minnesota, and they all say hello to each other and good morning, which, of course, if you're a fan, that's really all you care about. So you could live with 39-80 since he's been gone.
Hey, Frank, what about the Nets, man? You know, it seems like, you know, you have one of two first impressions. They're a lock or no chance. Where are you at?
Well, I mean, Kyrie Irving is going to be – that's going to be the wild card of this whole thing. I mean, you guys know this from watching Kevin Durant for 3 years. You knew he was great before he comes and plays for the team that you watch all the time. And then when you see him all the time, you're like, man, this guy really is something special. He's an unbelievable player. He has handled himself really well on the court, off the court. The first two games that Harden was here, he played very well, got a lot of guys involved. I mean, he looks like somebody's 45-year-old uncle. He's out of shape. He doesn't look good, and the Duke could still put up good points. So once he gets in shape, I think it's going to be lights out. The issue is going to be Kyrie. You know, Kyrie left the team for 2 weeks, and regardless of what the reason was that he left, I think if you look at his history between his injuries, some other things that have gone on where he's not reliable. So how do we know that he's not going to just take off for 2 weeks on the eve of the playoffs or maybe after game two of a playoff series? So I think that's part of the reason they made the trade. Spencer Dinwiddie went down in the third game of the season, blew out his knee, and then Kyrie just left the team for 2 weeks. And I think they said, you know what, we have Kevin Durant on our team. We owe it to him. We owe it to ourselves. We got to go for it. And, yeah, we're giving up a lot to get James Harden, but we have to do it. And last night, you know, it was the first time that the three of them had played together. They don't defend, and they lost to a Cleveland team, which isn't a good offensive team at all. Right. They put up 147 in double overtime, so defense is going to be an issue. They have too much scoring, if there is such a thing. You know, the third player on Golden State, when it was Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, was Klay Thompson. Is Kyrie Irving like Klay Thompson? A guy that never needs to dribble the ball, defends, basically doesn't say two words, and is a knockdown shooter? That's not what he is. So it's three. Everybody likes to say big three, but does it really fit? I'm not so sure.
Frank, let me ask you this. Last year we had the NBA had the bubble, and you didn't see many empty seats. Obviously, it's not an arena. And I know we're going through a pandemic, and I need basketball, and I'm happy they're plowing through. But at the end of the day, I know it's pro sport, no excuses. But when you see these empty arenas, do you think – it's affecting some of these players and teams that there are no fans there?
Oh, I definitely think it is. There are some nights. All right, so on Monday night, the Nets played Milwaukee, and you had Harden, you had Durant, and you had, you know, Giannis was playing and Chris Middleton. It was a very competitive game, and I thought the product was really good. There have been some nights where, because players are missing, I mean, think about what Philadelphia did a couple weeks ago against Denver, where they had eight players, but really only seven of them were available. I mean, the game was a joke. There was no Ben Simmons. It was Embiid. So, like, to your point, they're plowing through on something like this. And when you have to play essentially every other night, you're going to get hurt. Look at what the Denver Broncos did that one game where they had to play a practice squad player who was a wide receiver. They had to play him at quarterback. It was like an awful moment for the NFL, but it was really just one game. And then the NFL kind of messed with their schedule a little bit when Baltimore – had a bunch of players out, including Lamar Jackson. I was shocked that they didn't play on Thanksgiving night. I love just sitting around on Thanksgiving at night and watching a football game in the cold weather. I was surprised that they called that game off. So they were able to adjust things. It's a lot harder for the NBA. Without the use of a bubble, look at all the college programs that shut down for 2 weeks at a time. I mean, Washington has now had six games postponed. I don't know how are you going to, you know, it's going to be tough to make them up. But to your original point, I definitely think it suffers, and I think the players like having the fans there. I think they get up for it. But also, wouldn't you guys say that not having fans and not having to travel in the bubble probably helped certain teams? I think it helped Jamal Murray. I think Definitely. It helped a young Miami Heat team. None of their young players had to go on the road to play at Boston. And I think it helped LeBron, the fact that he didn't have to get on a plane and travel. He was in one location. So I think that helped teams last year in the bubble. But I think you're right. I think it's kind of hurting it during the regular season.
Other pandemic positives for me, technical fouls seem to be down because without crowd noise, players can't be John. And also, you're seeing many more coaches, not only maskless, but seated. Might these be a couple of developments that stick around once we come out of this weird association?
No, I don't. The other thing about, like, the coaches wearing masks, the other thing I don't like is all the coaches are dressed the same, so they all kind of look alike on the sideline. It's like a weird – like, we need, like, the head coach to wear, like, a different outfit than everybody else so he really stands out. Maybe wear, like, an orange shirt or something. I don't know. But it is interesting. I think there's less yelling. But remember, too, though, you know, the referees are still really close, and without fans, they could probably hear a lot more. Maybe they're just letting stuff go. Maybe that has something to do with it. Where the referee, if you, like, yell at the ref and fans can hear it, maybe the referee feels a little embarrassed that you said in front of a group of people, where now that there's nobody in the arena, maybe they let some of that stuff go.
Yeah, Frank, I know you're a big, big soccer guy, so maybe they should put the goalie shirt on the head coach. I never understood that.
Well, this way, because he could use his hands. Speaking of soccer, I got a great thing that they should do for the NBA. You ready for this? All right.
I know Dibley is.
Second night of back-to-backs, because God forbid players could play back-to-backs. So if you're talking superstar players, if you know that they're only going to play, say, 18 to 22 minutes, why not just play the guy in just the second half then? Or if you're not going to play, if you're like, your idea wasn't to play a back-to-back, what if you just play the second half? Like, let's say they told this year the Nets, all right, Kevin, show up for the game right before the game's about to start. Spend the first half in the locker room getting yourself ready. Halftime, go warm up, and then in the second half, we'll play like 20 of the 24 minutes. You don't think players would go for that? You don't, and I know players won't like it because their averages will suffer from it.
Yeah,
that's
but why
true.
Not do something like that? They do it.
I love that. And additionally, Frank, I'd like to see him go instead of the technical foul system. Let's go yellow card, red card. If a guy gets two T's, you got to play 4-on-5 the rest of the way.
I got one more for you because I sat through it. You know, I'm doing the Nets games on the YES Network, and last night there was two overtimes. Why not for the regular season? Just play a 2-minute overtime. 2-minute overtime. One timeout per team, which is really just used to advance the ball to midcourt. Wouldn't it be better if the game ends, you just have the players go right to midcourt? Think about what the jump ball would be like in a 2-minute overtime.
It'd be huge. Really it'd be better win. Than I thought you were going to say penalty kicks, where we just trade off jump shots from the top of the key.
2-minute overtime for the regular season. Well, who came up with 5 minutes? Five doesn't
That's
even
too long.
48.
Yeah, it should be three. Or they could just say, look, first team to five.
That's not bad. That would be intense.
Yeah. What do you got, Goo?
Frank, I got to ask you this. This is a random question, but when the Sixers were trying to get James Harden, there were rumors that the Nets didn't want Ben Simmons. And me and Steiny go back and forth about Ben and where he's going to be. Where are you at on Ben Simmons and his arrow? Is it up or down for you?
Listen, I mean, the guy, he's got to get better at shooting three-pointers, but he's still basically a 6'10" guy that could – you know, run the point. He's big and strong. He can defend. They do have the best record in the Eastern Conference. Right now, Embiid is probably second in MVP to LeBron with the way that he's played. But I don't know. It's interesting. I just think Ben Simmons gets beaten up a little too much. I'm not ready to give up on him yet. And I also think if I were you, all right, so you've got these picks, which, of course, the imaginary draft picks, which, you know, don't always work out. I mean, if I could have gotten Ben Simmons and another player, I would have liked that. He's a young guy. I think he's 25, yep. And he could play. I'm not giving up on him.
Yeah, me neither. Hey, Frank, I hope things are well. Hope you and the family are safe, man.
Same to you guys. Take care.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.